The scripture tells us to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And as we begin this morning, I want us to just take a moment to both weep and rejoice at the same time. Many of you know Caroline Sparrow and her family, and Caroline and her mom, Miss Becky Price, have for the last six, I believe, years dedicated much of their life to caring for Caroline's dad, Mr. Bill. He's had something, a condition called Lewy body dementia. Very, very difficult, very tragic. And as we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, I received a text, and it said, at 9:36 Central Time this morning, my sweet dad took his last breath while listening to communion this morning. With you all, he is with Jesus. I couldn't help but think about the passage that says, to the where the Lord talked to his disciples about partaking of that Passover feast, that now newly instituted communion, Lord's Supper reflection of his life. And he said, until I do it again anew with you in the kingdom. And I thought about that this morning for Mr. Bill. And I've asked Chester Darden, one of our elders, to come and to lead us in a prayer for the Price family and for their comfort. And to just, Bill was a faithful child of God, and we rejoice with him, but we also sorrow with his family this morning. Thanks, Jeff.
I'd like to read you
again the text that we received. At 9:36 a.m. Central Time this morning, my sweet daddy took his last breath while listening to communion this morning with you all. He is with Jesus. From Caroline. Can't think of a better thing for him to be doing when this happens, and his family with him. But we do weep with his family, and we want to say a prayer on their behalf at this time. Father, this morning we approach your throne. And Father, we are thankful that we can approach your throne in the good times and the bad times. And Father, we're thankful that as the good book says, we can cast all our cares on you because you care for us. And Father, we know this has been a long journey with the Price family and with Caroline and RJ. And Father, we ask that you put your comforting hand on them. And Father, we ask that you would give them peace. And Father, even though we miss those who go on before us, Father, it's good to know. It's good to know their condition of their soul. And Father, again, as Chuck said, we weep, but we also rejoice. And Father, there's no more pain. And for that, we are thankful. But again, this morning, we pray for Miss Becky. We pray for Caroline. And Father, we ask your blessings upon this wonderful family and bless them. And Father, may we be there to comfort them as well. And may we have the words to say or the hug. And sometimes it's just being quiet and just being there. But may we know what to do or say to help this family through this difficult time. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chester. This morning, as we do think about our families, and we think about the blessing of those families, what they mean to us, I am excited for us to think about this component of Luke chapter 14, the cost of being a disciple. I want to begin with this in just a moment, so if you want to go ahead and turn there. Again, we honor our mothers. We celebrate with them. We are so excited about the addition of Wyatt, and what a beautiful family. Happy Mother's Day. Happy, has a 21st birthday. We celebrate with folks. And then just good times, you know, boys and kids. And then this, I mean, you can't talk about, let me go back real quick. You can't talk about champions on a field without bringing this guy up. And we just celebrate his beautiful wife for putting up with him for so long. We love that. I don't know if you know this, but Danny Pugh retired a few months ago back, and he was just recently honored with an induction into the Hall of Fame. I did not realize there was a Hall of Fame, but there you can see just some of the things. And we've been blessed with so many that are in the military. We're excited about Parker's enlistment, and of course Drake. He's still down. You know, he's still serving it up. But this is Mother's Day, right? You moms, way back in the day, you understood what it was to be a mother when you had to pay a small fortune so your daughters could have just the right hair. You know, I just thought, man, that we got to celebrate moms that did that. And so that's good. But then when you become great, great grandmothers. And this was a beautiful picture. Got a chance to be with the Heffingtons and their, I think, great-grandbaby, the first of the assemblage, and just what a blessing it was to see them. And then this guy, you know, always celebrating, first one you find, hey, Mom, okay, and great stuff. And then Mary. Happy Mother's Day for Mary. Mary's in a show coming up in a few weeks. And I think you can tell she might be the future Wizard of Oz. Dorothy, yes. It took me a while. I was like, how can I not think of Dorothy there? And so, Tanya. And, wow. I couldn't find you. I never made eye contact over here. So I just found you. Sorry, I had to go back. But Mary is part of our discussion today. And maybe you knew it, maybe you didn't, but my dear mother is also named Mary. And this is her on the left. And also with a Mary, my niece, Mary Beth. And this is when Mary Beth and her husband, Matt, told my mom she was going to be a great-grandmother. And they had drawn a big family tree, and that was pretty special. But got a chance to talk to my mom this morning, and yes, she did ask if I had on a suit and tie, because y'all know that's a big concern for her. But as I think about Mother's Day, this is one of those, we're so thankful for all our moms, but Mother's Day's not always easy. And Meredith shared this earlier this week, and I thought, because, you know, there are some difficult parts of this for mothers who've lost children, or for children who have lost mothers, or those with strained relationships with a mom, or mothers with strained relationships with their kids, or those who've chosen not to be mothers, and others who are yearning to be moms, but it hasn't happened. And we're thinking of you this morning and want to acknowledge that we never want to elevate any part of the Christian life one over another. We are all on a journey with different things that we face and deal with, and we are all in this together. But today I want us to think about some of the lessons that we learn from Mary. And and I promise you to have you out for lunch on time and early, because Victor preached my sermon already. Okay? No, okay, let me go back to Tanya's picture. Okay. No, as together we stand and sing. Now I do, I want to talk about some of the things we learned from Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some things that perhaps we can glean from her as we look at our lives as not just moms, but as followers of Jesus, as those desiring to serve the Lord and to honor Him with our lives. And to me, that's the great picture of Mary. I mean, we looked at Luke chapter 14 the last few weeks, and the idea of what does it mean when it says a person wants to be my disciple, and he asked the question. He says, if anyone comes after me, you know, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This idea of being a bearer of the cross, we looked at last week, that says really there's parts of our lives that have to that have to die if we're going to be followers of Jesus. I can't say I'm a follower of Jesus, but yet I still let all these things that are not of Him continue to live in my life. I think that's why the beautiful imagery of baptism is such an integral part of our faith, that when we believe what we want and we know that we want to change, that we, in a figurative sense and through this act of obedience, we are saying, I want to bury this old man and put him to death and no longer have him part of my life. I think there's part of Mary's life that we learn and we see, what did it mean for her when she heard take up the cross? You know, as it begins, I want you to think about Mary's heart at the beginning of her life. Here as a young, more than likely 14-year-old young lady. I look down and I think about some of you girls that are 13, 14, and I wonder and imagine, what would it have been like for you to have this call from the angel that says you're fixing to be a mother? And you said, wait a minute, I can't be a mother. I'm still a virgin. This is not possible. And the Lord says, no, I've chosen you. You're going to bring the Son of God into the world. And I love Mary's heart in this. After being overwhelmed and amazed and even understanding all of the things that being an unwed mother would bring into her life, or that's the way the community would have seen this deal. Here's what Mary said to the Lord. Verse 38, at the end of that beautiful passage, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I want you to think about that. I am the Lord's servant. Whatever you've said, let it be. I'm here to serve the Lord. And whatever that looks like, I'm willing to do this. And we sang the song this morning that's often referred to as Mary's song. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has been mindful of me. What a beautiful thought that just says, I want to serve the Lord. I mean, isn't that at the beginning of every one of our faith journeys? That God has reached out to us and says, I've got something for you. It may not always be easy. It may not always be just what you planned for your life. But I promise I'm going to be with you. And I promise it's going to be good. If you let me, it's not only going to bless your life, it's going to bless the lives of lots of people around you. But it can't be all about you. Because if it's all about Mary, and if it's all about her, if the world revolves around her, she says, I don't want to do that. No, I'm out. That's going to be inconvenient. This is my body, and I don't want you doing that, and I don't want to have to carry this child. I don't want to do that for the world. That's not the heart of Mary. Mary's heart is, I'm your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. What an incredible thought. What an incredible heart. But then I think about Mary as she moves along in this journey, and I think about her heart and her desire and what she looked at life as a mother. And really, in some ways, it's all of our same journey of wanting to raise up Christ in our lives, so that we become more and more and more like Christ. It's like John said in John 3:30, He must increase and I must decrease. But Mary's job was specifically as a mom, helping to increase the faith within Jesus. I mean, every good Jewish mother understood the role and responsibility that God had placed in their lives as trainers of their home, those that would often pray the Hebrew Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, and even following. And I want to read it because it was twice a day they would pray this. And she understood this is my mission, my job, my responsibility. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. And this is obviously to both parents, mothers and fathers, but Mary would have taken this very personally and said, impress them on your children. Talk about them. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. And when God brings you into the land He swore for your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and gives you the land flourishing which you did not build, houses which you did not provide, wells which you did not dig, and vineyards you did not plant. And then you will eat and are satisfied. Be careful you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Fear the Lord, serve Him only, and take your oaths in His name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. I think about that. I think about Mary hearing those words and going, it's my responsibility to teach the Son of God about God. It's my responsibility as the mother of Jesus to be a part of impressing on the heart of Jesus the law that was the Word of God. It would be the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus' Word became flesh. The Word receiving teaching about the Word from His mother and His father. And she understood that. That Proverbs 22:6 moment that says, train up a child in the way he should go. You know, that's that seed that we're planting in our hearts. Proverbs are general rules. Of course, they're not everyone, every time. If you've trained up your child in the way he should go, you know, that's one of the great heart pulls of a parent is, I want my children to be faithful to God above all things. I don't care if you make any money. I don't care if you win any championships. I don't care if all you do is the most menial job on the face of the earth. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm going to be clapping. I'm going to be so excited because you get it. You get what matters the most in life. And I think Mary planted that deep in the heart of Jesus. That my life is to glorify the Father who is in heaven. I love Mary's mission. But then as Victor mentioned, think about Mary's presence, all the places she would have been with Jesus. Whether it started in Jerusalem at a temple that we're first introduced to at Luke chapter 2, where she comes back and she finds him and she finds this child who has been taught the Word by her, now talking to religious leaders about God's Word. And how it was, yes, unnerving for her to finally find her kid and be like, I've left him back. But then she finds him and then she sees what he's doing. And he's talking about the matters of faith. He's talking with these religious, these superstar people of faith. And she sees the seed that she's planted has grown. But she's not just with him in Jerusalem on that day. She's with him in Jerusalem on the day. John chapter 19. Again, we read it earlier, but it's that moment in Jesus' life, that terrible, tragic moment when he goes to the cross and he's hanging there in the midst of those crowds. Artists have tried to depict it in different ways, and sometimes it's very elegant in the way she looks, or very stoic, or very non-emotional, But there was one artist that captured it in this way. At the foot of a blood-stained cross, looking at your child. Some in this room have lost children, and you've gone through the pain that no person should ever go through, and it hurts. And I want you understand better than any of us what it would have been like to be there in Mary's shoes. But of all of the followers of Jesus that scattered the night before, that ran away, that hid, Mary was not leaving. You see, a mother is one that is going to be there for you in the worst times of your life. Do you hear me? This is one of those things that when you think about people that love you and care about you, whether it's a mother or a grandmother or someone that is there in your life who is investing and pouring into your life, they're going to be there because they love you. Mary was there. And I think she teaches us about what it means to bear your cross. I don't know if she understood fully at the beginning of his life all that would come. But when he says, take up your cross daily and follow me, who would have thought that part of her cross was his cross? That part of what she would endure as a mother, as the mother of Jesus, was standing at the foot of the cross. And then realizing that not only was that cross for the world, it was also for her. It was for her sins. Romans chapter 3:23 says that all have sinned. There is no one excluded from that all. That's everybody, including the mother of Jesus. Every one of us as parents know that moment where we've sinned because of something our children have done. You know, we shouldn't have said what we were thinking in our heads at that moment when your daughter calls and says she gets a ticket going how fast. And yes, I should not have thought those things. But I did. And I'm like, every one of us sins. And so this cross was for her as well. But then there's something else I want you to think about Mary. Maybe you haven't. Just briefly as we close. I want you to think about Mary's purpose. I thought about different phrases, but I couldn't come up with just the purpose, the very perfect thing. Sometimes in the religious world, Mary has been elevated to through a coronation process in which she becomes sort of another deity, another god. But as you look through Scripture, I want you to notice the last time we have conversation or that we encounter Mary. It's in the book of Acts. This is the birthplace. The book of Acts is the history of the church, the early church. And as you start here in Acts chapter 1, we find this occasion where they are there with Jesus, the risen Savior, and Luke is telling us about it. And they still don't understand. Acts 1:6, it says, as they gathered around him, they ask him, Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still thinking the resurrected Jesus is coming and we're fixing to whip everybody and Rome is going to be done and Jesus is on the throne and that's what victory looks like. Jesus, that's not it, guys. He said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the date that the Father has set. But again, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said it, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white robes stood beside them and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in the sky? This same Jesus whom has been taken into heaven will come back in the same way. If you kind of continue on down, you're going to find there they were in the room just days later. They arrived and those present were Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and James, the other son of Judas. They were all joined constantly in prayer. Along with them, the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You see, Mary's last mention is in the first chapter of the rest of the story. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the end of his life, but it's also the beginning of ours. Mary was not the main event. Mary was not the central figure. Mary begins at this point in time, as wonderful as all things she has done for the Lord, she then in the beginning of Acts blends back into the fabric of the gospel. Mary is not an elite figure. She is a sister in Christ, as well as a mother to Christ, but she's a sister in Christ. She is just one of the disciples. And the rest of the New Testament makes no mention of Mary. And the reason I believe that to be the case is because the purpose was never to elevate any of us to a position of authority. The purpose, or to honor, the purpose was to elevate Christ. It was to be all about what Jesus had come to do for us. And you see, that was something Mary understood through the whole process. It was part of her life to lift up Jesus, to lift and honor God through her life. And then as it goes, not to take a position of authority or not to be a person that we pray to or that we cry out to or that we reach out to, because Jesus is all that we need. Jesus takes care of everything for us. And so today I ask you to think about your life. Have you understood that person, that purpose in your life? Have you checked your heart as you think about ways in which you love and honor your mothers? Have you given them that greatest gift to know that one day, like Brother Bill, when you take your last breath of life, that they without a doubt can say, "He's with Jesus"? It's the greatest gift God has ever given to us, and truly it's the greatest gift we can give to those who love us. If there's any way we can encourage you today, whether it's to become a child of God, confess your faith in Christ, to be immersed in water as Jesus commanded us to do, to our sins might be washed away, or whether it's to come back home after you've wandered, we all stand in need. And if there's any way we can help you, we want to do that as we stand together.